Yeah, you liked it?
I just stayed on which one.
And I said, he's in London. Or if you want me to take you there, my brother, and I'll take you there, and we'll help you out if that's what you want.
Hey, Lee, are we ready? Okay. Yeah, thanks, Lee. Good afternoon. We're about ready to call this session to order. And we'll start off with, I have to start over, I have to be retrained here. With roll call, Kathy.
Chairperson Kimbrough.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Malay.
Here.
Commissioner Dahmy.
Here.
Commissioner Sattler.
Here.
Commissioner Shirk.
Here.
Commissioner Vance.
Here.
Commissioner Wendell.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Great, thank you. Let's start the pledge. How about Commissioner Sattler starting us with the pledge tonight? Next on the agenda is the approval of minutes. Did everybody get a chance to review the minutes? If you have, then I'd entertain a motion or any corrections. So moved. Commissioner Wendell. Do I get a second? Second, Commissioner Sattler. Any discussion? Seeing none, call for the all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so that takes care of the first item on the agenda. Modification of the agenda. Is there any changes that we need to make, Lee? All one item? We can put one in front of the other or the public comments. This is an opportunity for members of the public who wish to address the commission may approach the podium at this time to speak on matters relevant to or within the authority of the Planning Commission. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chairman to calendar the matter for a future Planning Commission agenda. In order for the members of the public to participate in commission consideration of a public hearing item on the agenda, the commission strongly encourages members of the public to comment on the agenda item when the particular item is being discussed by the commission, which we have only one tonight. No action may be taken on any matter raised under this public comment portion of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. So this is if you have items that aren't on the agenda or if you have a need to speak on the next item, but we prefer you wait. Does that make sense? Anybody want to come to the mic? No, good. So we'll move on then. For staff public service announcements. None. That was easy. Disclosures. Is there any disclosures tonight for the agenda item on? Seeing none? Okay, great. There is no consent agenda. We move on to public hearing matters. The following item is scheduled for a public hearing. The chairman will read the agenda listing into the public record. Staff will present a summary of the staff report and recommendations, including any updated information that was received after the date when staff reports were distributed. The commission will follow with questions of staff. At that time, the chairman will open the hearing to public testimony. Normally, the applicant and their representative are permitted to speak first, followed by the commission questions. This will be followed by a chairman requesting comments from the public at large. If you wish to speak on a particular item, please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Be as brief and concise as possible so that all who wish to speak may do so. Do not repeat the positions of others who express the same views as yours. The chairman has the right to establish time limits for comments and to allow for rebuttal. In order to be a part of the administrative record, regarding an appeal of an item, you must sign the sign-in sheet on the podium or have previously spoke to staff, of course, previously sent correspondence to the Planning Division or spoken to staff regarding an item on this agenda. Okay, we got that part done. Now we'll move to item H1, Special Use Permit 11-002, action to consider a special use permit request from Carson City Parks and Rec Department, property owner Carson City Parks and Rec, for public park improvements on property zoned public community located at the west terminus of Hobart Road, APN 007-091-31. Is it yours, Jennifer, or Vern's just going to wait for a few minutes?
Okay. Jennifer's going to lead off, and I'm just here to kind of following by.
All right, thanks, Vern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. For the record, Jennifer Pruitt, Planning Division. I'm going to give a brief overview of the staff report in the packet, and Vern Cron from Parks and Rec will provide you with a presentation in more detail related to the project that's before you today. A special use permit is required pursuant to the Carson City Municipal Code, Section 18.04.180, conditional uses in the public community district which require a special use permit are buildings and facilities owned, leased, or operated by City of Carson City, Carson City Unified School District, or any other district, state of Nevada, or government of the United States. So in this case, the Planning Division determined that a special use permit was required. The subject site is Lakeview Park, and the property is 40 acres, and Lakeview Park is currently located at the west end of Hobart Road, adjacent to the Lakeview subdivision. As you noted, Mr. Chairman, the applicant, Parks and Recreation Department, is requesting park improvements, and those improvements include some fencing, access gate, gravel turnaround, boulders, and other minor site amenities. And the site plan is specifically noted on page 5 of the staff report. Also, as part of the improvements proposed with this project, there will be reconfiguration of parking, and the reconfiguration of the parking will take place in the right-of-way, and that is noted in the plan as well. The proposed site improvements will facilitate the use of the park by the existing park users, and I think that's very important to note, that the existing park users do include but are not limited to pedestrian, bicycle, and equestrian users of the park. Within the packet of information that we've provided, comments have been included from the building division, the engineering division, as well as the health department. Those three departments and or divisions have no comments related to the project that's before you. The fire department, however, did have comments, and we've included their comments in the conditions, which are noted in the staff report. Specifically on page 2 and 3, we have included 14 conditions of approval. And I believe the last two conditions of approval relate directly to the fire department's comments. As part of a special use permit, the planning division were required to notify 300 feet around the subject site and or 30 unique properties. In this case, the planning division noticed 525 feet of the 40-acre parcel of land. And as a result of that notification, we received two comments. And those comments are from property owners in the Lakeview subdivision, specifically noted on page 19 of the staff report, I believe 19 and 20, are comments from Mr. Gilianic. And also there are comments in your packet, specifically from Mr. Kittis, Bruce Kittis, starting on page 21 of the staff report. Now, specifically, the concerns that are noted relate to horses permitted in the natural park, as well as parking ordinance interpretations, and also CCNR restrictions and other general concerns. In your packet, there is a letter from Mr. Lee Plamel, planning director. And that letter is specifically noted on page 12 of the staff report. And it's actually a memorandum, excuse me. And that memorandum was sent to the district attorney's office related to commercial vehicle definitions as well as CCNRs. As a result of the memorandum, we included comments from the district attorney's office as well. So all that information is included in your packet for you today. Mr. Plummel is here if you have any questions, as well as Mr. Nunn from the district attorney's office. I would like to note one item that I think is very important to note, that the proposed improvements will make the parking area safer, and it'll also provide a more organized layout for vehicles in addition to equestrian users. It's very important to note that it will eliminate the need for trucks and trailers and other vehicles to back out of Hobart Road. And it'll also keep cars, trucks with trailers, and pedestrian traffic off of private property. So that's very important to note. The Parks and Recreation Department has worked with the residents of Lakeview, as well as the users of the park. They've also consulted with the other divisions and departments in Carson City, and Mr. Cron will be able to address, you know, any questions you have regarding the process. But the packet of information that you have before you includes all of that input, majority of that input, as well as the information provided from the Parks and Rec Commission. Staff, we are recommending approval of the special use permit that's before you today, and Mr. Cron will provide you additional information regarding the project in more detail.
Thank you, Jennifer. For the record, Vern Cron, park planner.
This evening I wanted to spend a little bit of time just familiarizing the commission with the project site. I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to go up there and see this park that we have. It's a nice park. It's a very natural park, but not a lot of amenities up there. And that's some of the things we want to start moving toward fixing and providing a safer environment, as Jennifer mentioned, as we go through this presentation. So how do you make it go backwards? I'm clicking too fast. There we go. Technically challenged. All right, here we go. This shot is taken from the corner of Hobart Road and Umaga Pass, looking into the park. On the north side of the street, or to your right, is Mr. Walter Bickett's home, and on the left, to your left, or to the south, in this particular picture, you have Connie Sparbell's house. The park is right before you. It is a site that has a very small road right-of-way into the area. What you see here on this particular slide is one of the concerns that, as we started working with the neighbors, Mr. Bickett in particular, is that this particular piece of property that you can see the dirt area into is his property. We have another slide in just a second that will actually show you where the property line is. But what's currently happening up there is that not only are the public parking on his property, but they are also either taking their mountain bikes and or horses and unloading in this area and then crossing his property to get to the trail. There's a small opening in the chain link fence up there. Thank you, Lee. This is to the south side of the project area. Over here you can again see this area. Now this fence, which is Connie Sparbell's fence, is on the we're assuming it is on the property line, but also with the next slide we'll see here. Oops, going backwards. Forward. Yeah, I've got that down. Forward is good. Okay, there we go. Now this one, this is looking east back down Hobart Road, and this is Connie Sparbell's fence. There is a within the road right-of-way, Connie has over the years, Ms. Sparbell has landscaped part of the road right-of-way. That's important to note at this particular point because as we move forward with this particular design, that was one of the things we felt that was something that we just did not want to have a discussion with this particular neighbor. We wanted to be good neighbors, and so we're going to leave the existing vegetation where it is for right now and then try to work our parking scheme within that road right-of-way. Now let's also talk a little bit about the project site as well from inside the park. What you're looking at now is I was taking a series of photographs. We're going to do a 360 all the way around the project site. I'm standing in the center of the turnaround area. In your plan, in your packet that you got, there was a plan. This basically, all these series of shots is basically from one point, just kind of working my way around in the center of where the turnaround is going to be. The park boundary is approximately along this fence line. The residents that are adjacent to the park are back beyond the tree lines into the trees in that particular area. Now, looking again south, one of the other things I want to point out is that as we look at the site plan a little bit later, there's also a reference to a trail. This is a two-track road. We are looking at using that as a part of our trail system within the park. Again, south, southwest. This particular road right here is what the utility department uses. They'll come through the bar gate that's at the end of the road, and then they will take their vehicles through this area and up to the water tanks. We will be continuing that use for the utilities department with this plan. Some other just the type of vegetation that's around the project area. This particular slide identifies the trail. There's the bar gate that I was referring to a little bit earlier in my presentation. So people park in the road right of way. They also park on Walter Bickett's property, and then go through at the end of this chain link fence up onto the trail and up to Hobart. So that's one of the things that with this plan we're trying to minimize that impact to his property. As also, Mr. Bickett's, you can see a tennis court right back there. Just again to point out to the commission where we're at on the project site, but there's a tennis court right there, and just further to the east is his home. Oh. This is looking back at the turnaround area where it's going to be. The entrance to the park or the bar gate where it's existing is right there. We will be taking that turnaround around that group of trees. It'll come through here and then come back out and go back into the Hobart Road right-of-way. The road is a minimum width of 12 foot wide based on the requirements from the fire department. And in other spots, because of just the turning radiuses we need for the trailers and the vehicles pulling those trailers, in some spots it's a little bit wider. So it's not your perfectly engineered cul-de-sac. That's why it's a little bit amoebic when it comes to the shape of it. We're just trying to, and that's one of the things we did when we tried to talk with the neighbors, is because of the waterfall fire up there, they were really concerned about us taking out any trees for this particular project. So we promised them that we would do everything we could not to take out a tree. And that's what we're going to try to do through this process. Let me walk you through the site plan as it's been developed. As Jennifer indicated, we have met with not only the adjacent property owners, but a number of residents up at in the Lakeview subdivision, along with the equestrian community. This is a plan that was born out of compromise. It's not what everybody wanted. It's not one of the more probably award-winning projects we'll ever present to this particular commission, but it is a project that everybody at least reasonably seems to be happy with, or at least maybe could live with. Maybe that's maybe a better, if you want the common denominator, that's probably what it would be, is that everybody could probably live with this. So let me kind of walk everybody through the site plan. As I've referenced earlier in the presentation, this is Numaga Pass here. This is Hobart. What we've proposed as a part of the plan is to provide at the west end of the road right-of-way area is horse trailer parking. The parking is tight in there, and everybody realizes that, but we feel we can get four trailers in there, four horse trailers with their towing vehicles. Along the south property line, which, as I indicated earlier in the other slides, this landscape area by Mrs. Sparbell's residents, we're not proposing to do anything with, and so we're going to be organizing the parking so that it is along that south side of the road. The idea would be is that then the existing bar gate that I pointed out a little bit earlier would be removed, and we would have a bar gate here to control access up the road to Hobart. There would be another bar gate located at the west end of the loop. This would be for controlling access up to the city water tanks. And then, of course, we have a pedestrian entrance on the south end of the turnaround area to allow pedestrians to be able to access the trail system. The trail system on the park, we're not proposing at this particular time to use anything but what's existing up there, so we're not going to create any new trails. So if someone was to get out of their car as a hiker or a mountain biker, they would be able to come up, go into the roundabout or go into the turnaround area, either go this way up the utilities road and can go this way on a primitive trail to hook back into the Hobart Road, or they can continue walking on this two-track trail that the utility department uses to get up to the water tanks. The other option is to be able to use that other two-track trail that I pointed out earlier in the presentation, to be able to use that and then eventually tie back into the two-track road that goes up to the water tank. So we're not proposing any new trails. We're just going to just more or less just try to identify what's existing there. As far as site amenities goes, they're pretty limited. This was one thing that again, we spent a lot of time discussing with the neighbors what their perceived ideas should be of a trailhead, what the equestrian community could, you know, as a minimum could get by with. And some of those things some of the things that we've decided is going to be a kiosk. This would have informational signage on it, not only for the state parks, but also for our park, what you can do there, what you can't do there. Bear-proof trash receptacles up in Lakeview, bears are obviously a problem, and so we wanted to try to minimize that. Mutt-mitt station, we've been getting concerns and calls regarding the use of the area by people who take their dogs for walks up there. That's something we wanted to at least provide some amenities for. And, of course, then we have a series of boulders and fences that we're using to try to control the automobile traffic. So the way it works is we'd have a series of boulders that would loop the inside of the turnaround area, and then another series of fences. Right now we're proposing a split rail fence, which would go along the property line of Mr. Bickett's property, basically blocking public access or controlling, basically blocking public access to his property. Then we would have that on the outside of the turnaround area tying back into the existing fence line. The intent, again, is to try to control, you know, unwanted access into the park. The turnaround area is going to be a gravel base or a grindings or an asphalt grindings base, depending on what's available at the time and how much it costs. And I think that's pretty much a quick overview of what the actual site plan is. And the only other thing I can really probably share with the commission, just to highlight from the report that we've put together and what Jennifer's done as a staff report, is that we've been to the Parks and Recreation Commission 3 times with this. We've had a number of different, we started this adventure in 2009 with a presentation before the Parks and Recreation Commission. And we were, at that time, proposing a lot more developed trailhead than we have here today. We were asked by Larry Warner to, once that motion got passed by the Parks and Recreation Commission, to move forward with trying to develop the park. Mr. Warner felt that we needed to spend some more time with the equestrian community and with the Lakeview Park owners or Lakeview Park residents to refine some of the ideas that we wanted to pursue. So over a year and a half of work and effort and a number of meetings, and I want to publicly thank Mr. Bickett for the use of his garage. We had a number of what we called garage summits. We actually ended up there with our community. He was gracious, provided cookies and tea and other things. And so it was nice to be able to at least have a place to go. It was out of the wind, out of the sun. So, you know, through this whole process, we've at least vetted a lot of the different issues. As I mentioned earlier in the presentation, it's not what we originally wanted to have there, but it is something that I think both the residents and the equestrian community can live with for the time being. So with that, if there's any other questions, Roger, did you have anything else you wanted to add? Are we're good? Okay. So with that green light from my boss, I'm ready for any questions you might have.
Commissioner Vance?
Mernite, how are you?
I'm well this evening. Thank you.
I had a query from a resident up there, and I realized that this has been munched over ad nauseum. But they were just wondering whether determined people with off-road vehicles will be deterred enough by a split rail fence to not get over in the past. I was just wondering if it probably has already been considered, but I was wondering if any boulders on the upper side, especially going up to the tanks, their big fear is fire.
Certainly, and we can certainly appreciate that fear that they have of fire and getting people in there that are getting off-road into the tall grasses that might catch on fire. Some of the alternatives we did discuss was chain link. That was something we certainly did have that discussion about. You know, we tried to stay away from any kind of a strong metal fence. We tried to stay more with a rustic look to it. Will it stand the test of time? Unfortunately, time will only tell. If we do end up in that situation where the split rail fence is not a big enough deterrent, we will have to look at another option up there for it.
Okay, because as anybody that's been, I mean, I ride a bike a lot, and it seems like if there's a gate, a bar gate, that can be gotten around by a four-wheel drive, somebody has done it. And right now you have chain link and a bar gate. That's pretty hard and fast deterrent. But a split rail fence seems like it would be less of a challenge to somebody who was determined. So you're saying that if you start getting indications of people getting around these gates, that you will take remedial action?
Yes, that is correct, sir.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Vern?
Yes, sir.
Mark Sattler. One thing I haven't been following this closely except with the packet, but one of the problems I understand is the horse trailers parking out on Hobart Road, et cetera, and then having to turn around and come out. So this is going to alleviate that. But I did catch in the packet also that the people didn't want parking along the turnaround. But if this becomes more popular, there's only 4 places for horse trailers to park.
Well, and that was one of those discussion points that we had with the neighbors. The neighbors felt that they really didn't want to have an area for additional parking for horse trailers. They could pretty much live with the quantity that comes in there right now. And so our focus was to try to get the people who did bring their horse trailers in, park up here, give them a place to come in, turn around, and then come back out. The road's only 12 foot wide. It'll be signed. And if we have to, we will cite.
But if it were wider and they were out of up around, park around the turnaround, the other vehicles couldn't get through the fence either because there'd be trailers, you know.
That's true.
I'm just worried the same thing's going to occur, that four people come up, it's easy to get into, it's nice now. You're going to have 10 people up there, and they're just going to be back on the roads causing the same problem they had before.
And it's a concern, and it is. And at this particular point, our hope is to try to just deal with the situation we have and provide a safer way for to get what vehicles we do have there currently out. But if it does become more popular, that's going to be a challenge we may be facing in the future.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Well, Vern, I have a little more knowledge of this since I've been involved with this since 1984.
Yep, you better.
The vision
yes.
was a little different when yep. State Parks did a master plan. So I don't know how much State Parks has participated in these meetings, but I can't speak for them anymore. I don't work for them anymore. But I do know that the question of trespass with a split rail fence could be a real issue. Instead of building something that's going to have to be replaced maybe eventually,
mm-hmm.
a little tug or a bumper is going to take a split rail out, and the dirt bike issues and stuff, that maybe there's other types of fences that, like Spooner has a style at the park that's it's more expensive. And then there's a metal fence that looks really nice that actually came from the coastline right below the Golden Gate Bridge that we used at Sand Harbor that's very restrictive for other vehicles and people and things you don't want to move through the area. So I would hope you'd visit that before they spent the money and talk about that a little bit more, maybe show some different designs to the community so that it doesn't become a problem of trespass, because I've chased or been called to many situations where they get around the fences up there. And the dirt bikes are more prevalent than vehicles. But so I would hope they would visit that a little bit. And then I would ask that in this plan it talks about a sign for the rules and stuff. I would hope that you would talk to State Parks so you could post all of the signs, because it's an entrance to the State Park, essentially.
Yes, no, it is.
About the trespass and some of the rules that apply to people that use the backcountry of the park.
Yeah. We've had, to answer a couple of your questions, we've had Jenny Scanlon at a few of these meetings. You know, she is also, when Land and Water was a little more flush than they are currently, or what proposing they're going to not be too flush, Jenny had offered the opportunity, because of the equestrian community coming forward and offering $10,000 plus the opportunity for them to put some sweat equity into this thing. You know, Jenny said there's real opportunities through Land and Water Conservation Fund monies to be able to match these kind of contributions.
Contract.
And so, you know, we were, you know, so she's been involved. She's a supporter of the project. As I think in your package, you'll see a letter from State Parks that said that they're, you know, they want to be involved and that they're, and we appreciate their partnership, you know, in this. And, you know, we'll be certainly working with them as this design moves forward. And as far as the fences go, you know, we are, you know, we're not, we're proposing a split rail cedar fence up there, but, you know, we're more than happy to look at some of these other alternatives. You know, I know Mr. Farrenbrook does not want to be replacing the fence every other week. You know, I'm sure that I would hear about that probably after the second time it was replaced. So we'll be continuing to look as we move forward with the design to take a look at some of these other possibilities, you know, something a little more solid. But our concern was we didn't want a chain link fence up there from an aesthetic point of view. If you even look at some of the slides we have, you have the bar gate, you have these six-foot chain link fences. The thing about a chain link fence, too, is that when you hit it, if it doesn't really fall over, people just leave it bent and twisted. And so we're trying to find a compromise between the kind of the institutional jail look of a chain link fence and something that's a little more rustic and maybe more aesthetically pleasing in the area.
Well,
you know,
the ones at Spooner Sand Harbor got TRPA approval, so you know they've got to be good. Then
there you go. No, and that's right. And so I can make a promise to the commission that we will take another look at those, but our intent is to try to have something that's both functional as well as aesthetic. And that's really what we want up there.
Then I'm going to make one more point before we bring the public up. But I was hoping to see more there, like a lot of people were, because of the vision of a trailhead kind of disappeared to a paved turnaround, which is a lot of compromise on both parts, so I understand that. So you support it because it went through the process, but it's very disappointing. But those horse trailer parkings, if you have seen equestrians, they tie their horse to the side of the trailer.
Yes, they do.
So Connie's property is going to become very valuable to them because it's dirt, because the other side's been essentially fenced off. So a reality is that that piece of dirt is going to be really important. Otherwise, they're going to be saddling their horses up in the paved road.
Correct.
Which is called slippery rock to equestrians. I don't know if there's any in the audience, but that's not a great situation, especially with green young horses that aren't used to slippery pavement. So I hope that safety was thought of. I'm sure it was,
yes.
But it's a reality check that that dirt property might be very valuable to the equestrians to tie up and saddle. And
no, and that's part of the reason why we're at that end. As I mentioned earlier, we were not going to, as part of just the good neighbor policy of the city, we weren't going to ask to Connie to remove her property, her landscaping off the city right away. So we have, for that very reason, we have concentrated the horse trailer parking in our, you know, on our organizational scheme of that right-of-way area at the west end of the road, because that's the widest area where the most of the dirt is located. It's closer also to the fact that if you did get your horse out, you're closer to the park than versus being down here where you had to actually ride up the road to get to the park. So from those kind of functional perspectives, we got it as close as we could to the park and put it on as much dirt area as we could. So, yeah, considering the right-of-way and some of the restrictions, we did take a look at that safety aspect.
All right. Well, any more questions?
Yeah.
Commissioner Millay.
Vern, so the four places, was this a compromise based on what the residents wanted? They wanted to limit it to four to discourage equestrians coming up there? Or
it was a compromise that was conceded by the equestrian community to the residents. They didn't want to see a whole lot more horse trailers up there than what concurrently get in there. And so, as Jennifer indicated in her staff report, and we concur, by doing some of this reorganization within the road right-of-way, we believe that we haven't decreased the amount of parking, but we haven't increased it either. And that was something that the residents were very insistent upon. That, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, they just did not want to see this really as a large destination area. So we tried to work with them and conceded on that point.
And what you've identified, the little checked off area,
mm-hmm.
looks like a section, you know, 40 acres.
Oh, yes.
And I was just wondering if there was, you know, if the city or the, in this case, I guess this is the forestry, has all this property, why, I know you don't want to disturb any more of the natural area, but why we're even considering putting trailers outside when you have all this land, and maybe even using the wagon wheel as the exit, come in and go out the other end and just make it a longer loop, and maybe you've gone all through this discussion already. And
I can answer those questions. The original proposal that we'd brought forward to the Parks and Recreation Commission was to bring parking into the park itself. Our thinking was at that time is that we would stay on the kind of the southwest corner of the park. That's where your grades are probably, or where your grades are the more conducive. I mean, it's a steep site, as you indicated, as I showed you when we went around the site, it's fairly steep. But in this area, in the area between the utility road here and the residences, the grades probably could have supported some sort of a parking lot. But the residents along the property line just did not want to look out onto a parking lot and horse trailers and cars. And so, again, that was one of the compromises we gave into the neighbors on, is that we would keep the parking from inside the park into the road right-of-way area. And we were able to work with the folks and at least get us a turnaround so that people did pull in there. They wouldn't have to back down the road. They could come in and turn around. But that was part of the reasoning. And a number of those properties, too, as indicated, you know, around, I maybe didn't put it in your, didn't indicate that, but some of those properties that are adjacent to the 40 acres that we have will be coming to the city as a part of the federal lands bill as well. So not only are we getting the 40 acres, we're getting some additional acres that are also adjacent to it. But the focus, again, was trying to keep the activities down here. We did talk about an entrance in off of Wagon Wheel very briefly, but again, partly grade issues. partly the issue was is that we were impacting these neighbors already. The idea of going up there and potentially impacting those other neighbors up on Wagon Wheel just wasn't something we wanted to bite off and chew. So, okay.
No more questions, I guess. One more question.
Just help me understand it. It's not our really concern, it's curiosity. So we're presuming that if on a nice day somebody packs up and drives an hour up there and they happen to be the fifth one there, they just turn around and go home?
That's one option. They are public streets up there. People can park on them.
Okay.
We're providing, as indicated in your staff reports that Lee put together, they are public streets. We're not encouraging that, but they are public streets.
But they would be legal to park on.
They could do that now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the other things, too, that maybe I need to point out as well.
Well, it was in your report about residential options. Essentially, it was covered in your report, but you're not encouraging it, but you can't prevent it. Okay. But for most days, the historical traffic would show that four horse trailers is probably a reasonable number.
Part of that's just self-regulating because of the use up there. Mm-hmm. We have a few equestrians in the audience, and maybe they can talk to that a little bit more. But what we have is a situation where people will come up on the weekends, and that's usually when you get the most use. But still, I've been up there when some horse trailers have shown up on the weekdays, and so you have people that show up, they unload their horses, and head up the trail. And, you know, that's whether we do these improvements or not, they can still do that.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and the same thing with park, you know, before get up there before anybody else on a Saturday, just like they can now, they can park on the street if they want to.
Thank you.
Okay, I guess it's time to invite the public up for comments. Please come up, sign in, and state your name for the record.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, Bruce Kittis, Carson City, one of those Lakeview residents. Gil Yannick is our chairman of our architectural committee, and I join him. As you know, Lakeview's been there for 38 years, and we kind of take pride in our neighborhood. The best part of this process is that we get to come before the Planning Commission with a special use permit. So our letters, our comments, everything is now memorialized. And the reason that's important is because the neighbors have felt that there hasn't been much cleanup. If you had seen the property before the fire, you would have seen it did not look pretty, which is why we lost probably 300 or 400 trees up there that burned in the waterfall fire. Some of us, like Commissioner Mullett, almost lost our homes. And so we're kind of sensitive to fire. There's only about six of us volunteer committee, and it's kind of been us against the full force of all the departments and the equestrians, but we like what we see now. So, and you may be surprised why there aren't more people here, because we elected not to put out the notices. So that's why you don't see much of us tonight. It's nice that the fire department has asked for a fuel management plan. That's a good idea. One of the things that I never have understood is it provides for non-motorized access for, I don't know how you can call the Hobart road non-motorized. We know that state parks is encouraging the landowners, the private landowners, not to use the Spooner Summit access, but to use Hobart. So you have private property owners. You have maintenance trucks going up and down for the Marlette, Hobart maintenance of the gas line and whatever else they do up there. And we've got another, they just finished a couple of years of construction, all those construction trucks going up there. There's another $2.5 million project coming up that they're going to replace the tank way up there in 3,800 feet. So call it what it is, it will be a motorized road. So, but that's your problem. We're not going to concern ourselves anymore. Whoever wants to use it, just go ahead and use it. I noticed in the report it referred, we've had this discussion a number of times here on CCNRs, and we understand fully the city does not enforce CCNRs. But, you know, you could kind of respect the CCNRs, and so that's why some of this compromise, I believe, maybe even though we say the police power, we're not going to enforce it, we are a non-horse community. I mean, and it's been that way from the start. I don't even know we didn't start it that way, but that's what it is. So I believe some of the compromise maybe was in appreciation that we're a non-horse community. But one reason you mentioned the four or five horse trailers, part of the problem is that the horse trailers have gotten larger. They have tack rooms. They're for four horses now. In earlier times, I think you would agree that there were two horse trailers. Two horse trailers, smaller truck. Four horse trailers, bigger trucks, diesel trucks. So where they used to be able to maneuver to back out, it's gotten to be a problem because they've gotten bigger. But we've resolved that. The one item that I thought was missing from the report, I know he knows about it, is I would have thought that our sheriff would have commented, because I would think that there somebody should be concerned about security. You got two water tanks. You got the siphon goes through the property. You got all the facilities up the road. But again, that'll be, you know, the sheriff will be concerned about the security. I had one last issue. I'm almost finished. I guess that's just
about, well, let me ask you, are you for or against this project?
Oh no, we're for it. No, we didn't invite 100 people here tonight.
Because I thought they agreed to this.
Excuse me?
I thought they agreed to this.
We did. Okay. So that's why we're here. We're
so
just
then you're
kind
for
of,
it. Could I mean yes. For the record you're for it. Okay.
We are for it. Okay. Gail will come up and for it, Mr.
With positive comments about the project.
Yeah, this is all, that's why I said we're happy to have, because at least it will be memorialized on the record.
Memorialized. Okay. All right. Thank you very much for your comment.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you.
This is my turn. For the record, Gil Yannick, is there supposed to be a sign-in sheet up here?
Yes.
For the record, Gil Yannick, Carson City. I guess I should start by saying it's been a long discussion between various departments, trail riders, equestrians, and home and property owners. I'm glad it worked out the way it did. I think before two meetings ago with the Planning Commission, there was some, not a chasm, but a slight gap between where they were and where we are. And it was a little give and take, but it worked out fine. I believe that the trail riders are going to have a great opportunity to use the facilities with a lot less problems. Jennifer mentioned the issue of safety, and we were all concerned about that, and we feel that it was very difficult when you had a 35 or 45-foot trailer trying to, you couldn't turn it around. You had to back out into the road. And this is going to eliminate that. And we're glad. If you read my comments, I said, well, one of the things that the trail riders probably would have liked was more parking. It really wasn't an easy thing to accomplish without really usurping what had been a nice location for the people that live there. Putting parking in that lower southern corner there with the prevailing westerly winds would have blown all the horse odors right into some, you know, very expensive property up there. And that really wasn't fair to those people. They bought that land. It was going to be a park. It abutted on BLM land and forest land. And it just wasn't fair to them to take that away. It's been a long-standing undeveloped park, and everybody bought up there with that understanding of what it was intended to be. So that, if you want to call it a compromise, it worked out to the benefit of both the trail riders, because if you ask the trail riders, and I hate to speak for them, but in the discussions, they don't really care about riding around in the park. They didn't come up there to ride in that 40 acres. They came to have access to that road to go up to Hobart, Marlette, and the other places that are, you know, west of there, excuse me. And that's what this is giving them. Is it self-limiting? Yes, it's self-limiting, and all the trail riders know it. I went around Carson about three and a half weeks ago and saw where they were holding their trail rides. And, you know, they had places to tie their horses up. They had plenty of parking for their vehicles and their trailers, and it was great. They had a nice-sized turnout. This is not the place where they're going to hold activities because there isn't enough place for everybody to park. And as Commissioner Vance mentioned, well, and Commissioner Kimbrough mentioned, yeah, they can park on the street, but I don't think they want to do that. I mean, it's not fun to ride horses with metal horseshoes on asphalt roads. And do they want to put the rubber type of horseshoes on, and then that doesn't last when they go up on the trail? So they know where they're going, and they know how to equip their horses properly. And if they want an activity to, you know, some of the, if you read their website and the activities that they hold, they're pretty interesting and they're pretty complete. And you can't do that here. So, you know, we kept saying maybe you should title this not Lakeview Park, but Lakeview Trailhead, so that people don't get the idea. Because when you say park, you have a certain image that comes to your mind when it say Lakeview Park. Well, there's, you know, swings and slides and this and facilities, and people are going to come up here thinking that they're going to be sadly disappointed because they don't realize what it really is. They will after the first time. But all the books and all the publications that Parks and Rec puts out on an annual basis, they say it is undeveloped. And they mean undeveloped. So I really like to just take the opportunity to thank the Parks and Rec Department. I'd like to thank really all the trail riders that are here tonight, because they gave a lot. Hopefully they felt that we gave a lot, and we found a place that we were both happy about. And I hope that they enjoy the facilities, and hoping that they realize that the city has tried very, very, very much to make it easy and safer for them to use those facilities. And look, we want to go forward. We've spent a lot of time effort by the neighboring residents, Mr. Bickett and Sparbells, on, because they're the ones who bore the majority of the brunt of the, this issue and the nuisance that they put up for a good number of years. And I think we've tried to make it as best we could, for, particularly for the adjacent homeowners and the trail riders and the property owners of all of Lakeview and for the residents of the city. And I want to, again, thank everybody.
Thank you. Actually, we need to call it the Lakeview Turnaround because there's no park there, actually.
Trailhead.
Well, we'll see what the sign says.
Just by definition, there's nothing there almost for trailhead. So we have one more.
Yes, my name is Walter Bickett. I am the landowner that's been referred to here several times. And Commissioner Mullett, I've offered to sell him my property. The city then would have a tennis court and a house. You did make the park and the turnaround.
How about a donation?
Well, I'm not quite up to that
okay,
level.
Well.
Is it equipped with a swimming pool yet?
No. I can do that, though, if that would help. First of all, on the off-highway vehicle usage, for some reason in the last several years, there's been virtually none. When I first moved there, I've been there 19 years, 20 years, would be here shortly. When I first moved there, I'd have maybe during the summertime one or two a week, and now it just virtually never. In fact, I'm not sure when the last time one did go. So whether the fence will keep them out or not, probably not, because the fence ends up at the property line and it's still open on past my tennis court. To go beyond the tennis court, my lot happens to be encompass the water system, the siphon. So there's a large undeveloped space beyond that swimming pool, or I mean, the tennis court. I could do
it. He's got it located.
I've got it located. And people can come from Numaga up through there. So if people want to get there bad enough, I mean, it's you can do it, and they can do it today. Thirdly, I'd say that we're thankful that all of this publicity that's been brought up there has cleaned the place up. There used to be all kinds of debris, everything from horse manure and violent people, and and suddenly, you know, in the last couple of years, it's been pretty peaceful. The other thing is, I just want to comment for the record that many times we in Lakeview get accused of being exclusive and not wanting anybody up there. In fact, some of the fine political people of this have accused us of that, and I'd just like to let the record know that I have provided the access to anybody in the world that finds their way to the end of Hobart, access to your park. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public?
My name is Donna Anderson, Carson City. I lead hikes for Sierra Club Great Basin Group, Muscle Powered, and for the midweek hiking group out of Carson Valley, and we hike up there. Glad to see any improvements. We, in trying to be good neighbors, we tend to meet someplace else first and carpool so that we bring as few cars as we possibly can. And I am glad to see that it's going to be a little bit safer and nicer. And I support the project. I'd like to see in the future a little more parking for hikers, too, and bicyclists. But I do support the project.
Thank you.
Good evening. For the record, Steve Lasco. I am the chairperson of the Parks and Recreation Commission. And I just wanted to comment in favor of the project. As was mentioned earlier, we discussed and vetted it quite thoroughly in Parks and Recreation for a total of three meetings, one of which was abruptly terminated by the failure to have a quorum. But we had significant input from both sides of the issue, as it were, pretty much all angles. And it, as we've heard from the citizens tonight, it seems that the bulk of the differences have been worked out. And so I just wanted to voice my support for the project and for the access, and to hopefully urge you to pass the mission. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Scott Dutcher, the president of the Nevada All-State Trail Riders, and I want to apologize for all the trouble we've caused. I don't think there are more horse riders that use the park than there are hikers or bikers, but some of our members donated sufficient funds and suggested that we move forward and try to get a park improvements there so we had room to park our trailers, and that's what's caused all this trouble, and I apologize for that. We have worked pretty closely with the homeowners out there, and we're sorry that they think we've been a nuisance, but horses have been using that trail much longer than the city owned it, much longer than the homes have been in the area, and hopefully much longer than the houses and the current residents as well. But this is not at all the project that we hoped it would be either, and we would have rather seen much more parking and much more use inside the park. This is a very bare minimum project, and it's simply provides us the very minimum safety that we need, not the rest of the things we'd like to have. So we're in support of it, and we really would rather there was much more, but this this is a good step. We appreciate that, so thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead. Sure. Commissioner Sure.
Scott, if the trailhead is used by the horse people, like that, or whatever you want to call them, equestrian, how many parking spaces would you have liked to have seen? Or how many people use it on an ongoing basis?
You know, we can't tell.
Okay, so.
Certainly, yeah, what happens when somebody gets up there and there's already four vehicles parked and there's no room to park, they're more than likely to turn around because they don't want to drive too much further down the road and park on Numaga and then have to ride up the road on their horses. Where it is, safety is an issue. It is slippery. And so there's other places to go, and they'll find another place. Okay. So it's hard to actually measure how many people turned away because there wasn't sufficient parking.
Do you use that park or that area?
No, I don't ride horses.
You don't? Okay. All right. So you have no idea how many horse trailers would go there?
No.
No. Okay. No. I was just curious. Thank you.
Any other comments? Seeing none, I'm going to bring it back to the commission for any comments, questions, motion.
Sure.
I got two sures.
Go for it.
Commissioner Vance.
You live too close.
That's right. Yeah, he was gone.
I think that has a better chance. Okay. I move to approve SUP-11-002. A special use permit application from the Parks and Recreation Department to allow trailhead improvements for Lakeview Park, which includes split rail fencing, access gates, a gravel turnaround, boulders, and other minor site amenities at Lakeview Park on property zoned public community, assessor's parcel number 007-091-31, based on 7 findings and subject to the recommended conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Dahme has a second. Any more discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries unanimous. Thank you. Oh, geez. Vern, can you come up real quick to the mic to get myself out of trouble? Do you agree to all the conditions for this?
Absolutely.
See what happens when I leave for one meeting?
No, absolutely. We worked with Jennifer and the other departments, and we're very comfortable with
right.
the conditions that are placed on the special use.
I'm glad after we pass it. Thanks, Vern.
Thank you.
I even wrote it down, too.
I know, and then as I'm reading it, I'm thinking.
All right, so let's adjourn for like 3 minutes.
Talk out there.
Thank you.
Watch out, I'll take it.
All right, let's move up the agenda then. Where is it? Here it is. The staff reports, non-action items, director's report to the Planning Commission. Lee.
Thank you. I do have a couple items to report on. First of all, some of the prior Planning Commission items that went to the Board of Supervisors in February. Actually, the only one in February that went was the zoning map amendment, the second reading of the rezoning of the properties up and around the landfill, and that was approved on second reading, and the master plan amendment that went along with that was improved approved in January. Excuse me. From the January Planning Commission meeting, when there was we had four of the seven commissioners here at that. One of the items was a special use permit for a wind turbine down in the Schultz Drive area for Joe Gonai. That wind turbine request at 160 feet. Was denied by a vote of 3-1. That's been appealed to the Board of Supervisors, and it will be heard by the Board of Supervisors on March 3rd. So that's just some information, something coming up. And also another update on part, I think it was from the January meeting as well, the request for the batch plant and large wind turbine. The action as requested by the applicant was to move ahead with approval of the batch plant operations for making they're making concrete or asphalt, but anyway that part was approved, and the part for the large the 2.5 megawatt wind turbine, or 1.5 megawatt I guess depending on which one they're proposing, but that part was continued at their request to a future date, and one of the things they're working on is getting FAA approval for the requested height. And there's a little bit of a hang up with that because the Parker Airport, if you know off Flint Drive there's the old former Parker property, and there's a runway that sits there partly on BLM property and private property, and so there's some question of the FAA accepting that thing as being closed and what we need to do. So anyway, they're working on FAA approval. They're also working with the Airport Authority on getting comments and approval from them for the height up there. And when they do that, then they'll request to come back to the Planning Commission on that item. Moving on to future agenda items for next month's Planning Commission, we have the Silver State Charter School is coming back for a special use permit at another location. And you know, this would be the third location they've come to you for. Their last approval was on Centennial Park property, but I think because of some ownership issues with the property, they've abandoned that site. So they're not going to go there. They found a site on Mallory Way near Roop and Fairview that they'll be coming in for a zoning map amendment and special use permit there. Also, we have a billboard coming up. Actually, is a billboard that was previously approved but has not been built in the last 5 years, so their approval expired. And it's actually the NDOT one at the Highway 50 East and the freeway. And then also we have a small zoning map amendment for some property around the hospital that existing residents, 1 acre, requesting zoning to retail commercial like the surrounding property, which should be pretty straightforward. Anything else to report? And I think that concludes my report and future agenda items.
Is the FAA, there's two airport concerns out there. One at the Parker Field, which it isn't used anymore, is it? Or is it? Depends on how brave you are.
Yeah, without getting into discussion too much about it, we don't know if it's been used actually. That's one of the issues.
Okay. And then the other. But there is an actual concern with the main Carson City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That's enough. Thank you.
Any commission reports or comments? Start down here. Any Commissioner Wendell?
No, sir.
No, sir.
No, sir.
Everybody wants to go, huh?
I just had a question, and that was that he's appealing to the Board of Supervisors. I mean, what being new to this, do we normally attend stuff like that, or no? We just
As a training session, you might.
Might me just to observe or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we have no input. We won't go to the mic or speak to those issues.
Okay, that's what I was.
But you can always go asking. And be part of the audience. And,
okay, yeah, that's what I was.
And asking. Actually, you could, as a person, you could always make a comment, I guess.
Yeah. Too, so.
I mean, you can't. They can't say because you're a commissioner, you can't say anything.
They
so.
Wouldn't call you up or something.
No, like no, they're not going to do that.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
That's fine. Good question. Are we ready then for a motion?
I'll make a motion.
You have a motion?
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen.